in here?
Many people in this room, and even at Chutzlaretz, are weighing making Aliyah and the issue of can I contribute more in Chutzlaretz? Can I, you know, what am I going to do in Eretz Yisrael? In Rav Schechter's view, is it simply a question of if I'm going to be a plumber here and an eighth grade Rebbe in Chutzlaretz, I should remain in eighth grade? I should remain in Chutzlaretz? Are there other factors? And on a personal level, is it possible if Rav Schechter was 18 years old now, he would make a different decision?
A very serious question. You know, in different generations, all the mitzvahs are important. We have tariyak, all the mitzvahs are important. But historically, in certain generations, certain mitzvahs were more important than others. Let's say the gula was, the Medrash said, because Loshina Shmam Lashayna Mahushmas. It's a big mitzvah to speak Loshna Kodesh. It is a mitzvah. Okay. Raman writes in the Tirush Amishnayis, I deserve a mitzvah kala for Rahamus, he gives an example, mitzvah kala, the Tabar Balosh Nakhaydish. It is a mitzvah. It's not the most important mitzvah in the world. More correct, I should have said the Shiva in every year. I should always speak Hebrew in America also, I should always speak Hebrew. But we're not so careful about that mitzvah. But in the topic, if you live in Golos, the Osamer, the Meshachach writes, if you live in Golos and there's so much pressure to blend in with the society, and you're going to stand up because that's going to hold you from assimilating. That's going to hold you back from assimilating. So in Mitzrayim, that mitzvah was the Tabashot. That was a bigger mitzvah than all, more important than all the other mitzvahs. Let's say Chol of Yisrael and Pas Yisrael. Chol of Yisrael is not the most important thing in the Rabban. But if you live in Golos and there's a chashash of intermarrying, So the Gemara says they made the takonas of Pasakon and Bisholakon and Stamyenam. These were all made because of the chashash of intermarriage. So the Chol of Yisrael and the others will keep a person in line that he shouldn't assimilate, that he shouldn't hang out with non-religious people. He's got to be medaktik and glatkosh and Chol of Yisrael. So more important, if you live in a godless society. The mitzvah of moving turtles, everyone agrees on mitzvah. No machlokes. I don't know, some Aichik and Avosha both thought that only mitzvahs are shus. I thought it was a very difficult position. Then he disagreed, the eldest, I don't think mitzvahs are shus. The Pashtun says, mitzvah chiyuv, you're obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael. But on the other hand, we see the Rabbi Shmuel learned by Rabbi Yudan Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, then they left Eretz Yisrael, they went to Bavel, because there were no yeshivas in Bavel at that time. The Gemara said the people were eating Bosom Cholov, who were violating Shabbos right and left, it was such a haratzis. They felt you have to go to Chutzlaretz. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah said that's where we all belong in Eretz Yisrael. But if there's a big Jewish community in Chutzlaretz, someone has to cater to them. Someone has to live there. Remember, many years ago, I spent the summer here in Kiryat Arba. I spent 2 summers in Kiryat Arba. So the first summer, the Rabbinical Council of America was having their summer convention in Eretz Yisrael. I met one of the rabbanim one day, and he says, I should come tomorrow. They're having a tour, they're going to visit the chief rabbis. I should come, it'll be worthwhile. So I joined them with my children, and it was very nice. It was a very smart idea. So that was the first time I met Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. So he was speaking, he was a big kibbutz. He had a tremendous sense of humor. So he was dressed up like a chief rabbi with a long kapot and a brimah and a hat. These rabbis from America, they're wearing COVID shirts. They weren't dressed like rabbis at all. So he's dealing with a bunch of characters. So he said, no, he was just appointed chief rabbi. This is in the beginning of his tenure. Just appointed. He was never in the rabbinate. He was in yeshiva, America. So I'm never in the rabbinate. He should really ask them for tips on the rabbinate. He was kidding. So he should ask them for tips on the rabbinate. He's very funny. So he gave a whole presentation. So, and at the end, as we were all leaving the room, so they're introducing this rabbi. So they introduce me. I'm Rabbi Shem. So he tells me, oh, he read some of my Divrei Torah. So he enjoyed it. Then the next day, I get a phone call from his. He had an assistant at that time, Eli Rubin, who's now in America. He used to be Rabbi Rum's assistant for American Affairs. His father was a rabbi in America. He was from America. He learned American as a rabbi. He calls me on the phone. He tells me that Rabbi Avraham would like to meet with me. I should come. first he gives me a whole spiel for 25 minutes why I should move there to Israel. And he says, they have a lot of people who pass the shaylas, but we need people to give a shiur, and they need a good shiur, and they need someone like me. And he read by the Divrei Torah, I should move there to Israel. He's going to help me get a position in the yeshiva. He has contacts, and he has money, and he can help me make my own yeshiva, my income, whatever, he's going to help me. And after he gives a 25-minute sales pitch, why should move Teretz Yisrael? Why, that's what they need here. So then he says, in addition to teaching in yeshiva, what else do I do? So I said, at that time, I said, give a weekly shiur in Rabbi Haskell Lukstein's shul, in his KJ. He used to give a weekly shiur in Paramus at that time, weekly shiur in Queens at that time. It's over 30 years ago. He used to give three weekly shiur. So he said, yes, how many people attend this? How many people attend that? Should the third year? So he says, he takes it back. He said, I shouldn't go there. He says, if you have so much influence on people in New Jersey, people in Manhattan, you know about them, they'll be there in yeshiva, you should stay in America. That's your mom. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. He used to say that whoever is Oisik and Rabbanus and Achinuch in America is not allowed to move there to Israel because they're fighting assimilation, they're fighting intermarriage. The general in the army is not allowed to leave in the middle of the battle, and the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave until all the people on the ship are ready. He used to laugh in my heart. What's Akhtar? What's he talking about? The general in the army and the captain in the ship? What captain? What ship? What general in the army? Years went by. I saw that an Amish Deloshan Chaim Eisler corresponded with Rav Kook. Kook wanted Rav Chaim Eisler to retire from Vilna. He should move there to Israel. So he arranged an apartment for him in Parnassa, in the Taipel. Kook will be the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael before HaKamas HaMedina. And Rav Chaim Eisler will be Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyim. So it's going to be the topic. Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyim. In the last minute, Rav Chaim Eisler backed out. And he says, he thought he could step down. He thought he wasn't needed anymore in Vilna to have some of the other rabbanim is ready getting home. And the rabbanim insisted not that they need him. If he leaves, they won't be able to function to the same extent as before. So Rav Chaim Eisler quotes this tshuva from the Maram Shik. Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He lived in the second half of the 1800s, and they were fighting reform there. Rabbanim in Hungary were fighting reform. The reform had a devastating effect on Judaism in Hungary. Terrible. They destroyed everything. So the Maram Shik had a Talmud who learned in his yeshiva, who was a rabbanis. And he did not appreciate fighting the reform. Every week I had to give a drasha fighting the reform. And wild, feeling blind, he was offered a position at rabbanis in Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s. He offered a rabbanis, he should sit and learn and pass the shaylas and give shiurim. That's the ganze rabbanis. He took it, he created it. And he sent a letter. He was packing his bags to go move to Eretz Yisrael. He sent a letter to Israel, and Ram Shik should give him a bracha on his move. Ram Shik writes, I can't give you a bracha, you're doing Shulei Kedin. So he writes in the letter, we had no right to draft you in the army when you were learning in the yeshiva, and any of the time you went into business. But you volunteered, and you became a general. You did very well. You were successful fighting reform. And he says, the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave, and the general of the army. Ram Shik, the exact same question. I'm sure Rabbi Soloveitchik never heard of that Shulei Maharshi. I'm sure he never heard. But the same lesson that they said. You're fighting reform, you're fighting assimilation, you're fighting intermarriage, you're not allowed to be. And he quotes a story that no one had, they don't have any other source for the Maharshi in his Shulei. It's in the Shulei Maharshi. He quotes a story that the Chassam Sofer was born and brought up in Frankfurt. Many of his Shulei, he signs Moshe HaKadosh from Frankfurt. Many of his Shulei, he sounds like that. He's a rabbi in Hungary in the last years. He's a rabbi in Hungary, Kreshburg. So he was offered rabbanis years after he was ready in Kreshburg. He was offered rabbanis in Frankfurt to go back to Frankfurt. So he wanted very much. He was going to go back. He moved back to Frankfurt. He was a Yankee. He didn't fit in with that Ungarish. He didn't fit in. It was a different culture. So then the Balabatim got wind of it that he's going to move. He's going to resigned from the rabbanis, so the Rosh HaKol came to himself. They were pleading with him. Rebbe, who's going to fight reform? You were successful. Maybe the one who's going to take over after you will not be successful. You can't leave us. So the Chassam Sofer changed, and he this day, you talk this down loudly. That's what the Maharshik means. Look, if a person already, I'm already in America. I'm not 18. I'm already in America. I'm already so many years. So for me, I have to stick it out. But if you're just beginning, you're not even beginning your career, you're just beginning of your education, you should really consider seriously moving in Eretz Yisrael. And in our generation, it's more relevant than in other generations. If there would be more Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the country would be much more secure. If the Arabs would know that if there's only more than twice as many Jews, the country would be much more secure. You have to consider it very seriously. One is not willing to move to Eretz Yisrael if it's an unreasonable option. Let's say if you live in America, make a panos, live in Eretz Yisrael, live off of charity. So that's not reasonable. So then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael and live off of charity. But if you live in America, you make $1 million. You live in Eretz Yisrael, make $250,000. That's not so bad. That's so bad. A few years ago, I told this story. Once spoke for the OU in California. Every year, the SBA speaks in the OU at the end of December. And why you wanted me to go to Eretz Yisrael? So I went, after I spoke there, I went on an LL plane from California, stopping off in New York, and then I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So I was sitting and waiting. It took a while till it took off. So someone from the business class, I always go to economy class, someone from the business class wanted to use the bathroom in the back. He looked so familiar, I didn't remember how I knew him. He was wearing tight jeans and sneakers without any socks on. Torn jeans, he was wearing torn jeans. And then he's walking back to the front. So he says to me, "Hi, Rav, Shalom Aleichem. He had learned my shiur 20 years early, 10 years before." So I said, "What do you do? What do you do for a living?" He's married, has children. He was a radiologist, I think he told me, in Los Angeles. He made something like $2 million a year. So it's an unreasonable amount of money. And he says, he decided to go on Aliyah. So he moved there. It's so he moved to a very poor neighborhood that's known as Savion. He bought a home. And he only makes up to $500,000. He says his wife cannot get used to living in poverty. So he's going to have to move back to Los Angeles. So he was making arrangements. He was almost going to make arrangements. I was going to give him a $5 bill, never he should buy himself. There are socks. $500,000. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael if it's reasonable. Shnasba. You have a right to leave. Rabban holds it wasn't allowed to leave. That is Ayurah Shor, according to the Rabban quotes of Zohar. Rabban Avinu did wrong. He wasn't allowed to leave. Normally you are allowed to leave if there's a rov. If life is miserable, let's say, you can't find the shidduch in Eretz Yisrael. You can't find the shidduch. But the girl that I fell in love with lives in Chutzlo. She doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I don't have to be broken heart. I don't have to have a broken heart. I want to marry the girl. It's unreasonable to tell me how to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's so many, 1,001 yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And I want to learn Dafka in yeshiva in America. So the Gemara says, Lo Matoira is mutter to go from Eretz Yisrael for Chutzlo. Even though there are 1,000 yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, he enjoys that learning better. So if life is it's unreasonable, Dami has to stay in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to leave the chutzpah. But if life is reasonable, people make up panasi, people are happy. Life is very cheerful there. Unfortunately, every so often someone gets killed. In America, people get killed also. They don't die al kiddush Hashem. They get killed in automobile accidents, all kinds of accidents. It happens in America also, not just here. I don't know if you stand a higher, higher chance of getting killed here than getting killed in America, in New York. I don't think so. This is the Tzav HaShor. This mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael now is a bigger mitzvah than another generation should all consider it seriously. Chayyodin wrote a separate sefer on Inyani Eretz Yisrael. That was the first sefer that he printed. He writes an introduction. He really wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't able to. So he wrote a whole sefer. At least he should be yotzei by writing the sefer. He raises the issue, I permitted to move to Eretz Yisrael, it would be a violation of Kibbutz Avihim. The guys want you to stay in America, they want to see the children, the grandchildren, and so on. You can move to Eretz Yisrael, you won't be able to fulfill Kibbutz Avihim in the same way. You can call on the telephone, you can send photographs of the grandchildren, you can send, you can visit with Delvins and Yilvins and so on, but not the same extent as if you live in America. So the Chayyadim raises the issue, and he thinks that you're not allowed to be called the Mishrab on Lechlecha, you're not allowed. And those Achronim before the Chayyadim already interpreted that medrash differently, they think that it's not correct. Even when it's in contradiction to Kibbutz Avichai, it's still a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's something that you should really consider seriously. They need regular, normal Americans here in Eretz. They're so extreme here, everybody's crazy. Chiladim are so extreme, and the Haredim are so extreme, unreasonable. They need normal, middle of the road, normal people, keep mitzvahs, live and let live. You keep the mitzvahs and you can live a normal life. You can make a parnasah. You can be a shoemaker. You can be a whatever you do for a living. Normal. They don't have normal people. They're Americans like us. They need normal Americans to build up the country. Yeah.
Second question deals with minhag. What establishes a minhag in the sense that if my father does something, he opens his hands when he says "Hoseches Yadecha." Does that become a minhag that's in any way binding on the son? Is something that I do could therefore be binding on my children? Or take the obvious example from Futzlar, somebody's father doesn't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. His grandfather didn't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. He goes for a shir, seems like the Gemara says you should sit in the sukkah. What makes it a minhag and how binding is it?
Opening my hands when you say Seches Yadecha, that's a question of the minhag. Sitting in sukkah Shmini Atzeres, that's a question of the din. Mar has three different opinions about sitting in sukkah Shmini Atzeres. One opinion is sit in sukkah with a brach, one opinion is sit in sukkah, one opinion is sit in sukkah without a brach. Our case in the Gemara is, the last line, Hilchasa, they said, Asvin Baruch Allah Lurachim, you sit in sukkah, you don't sit brach. Many Rishayim seem to not have had that Girsa. That was, they claim this was added from the Bahag. Every so often there's a Gemara that says the Hilchasa, the places where other Rishayim say, not from the Rabbin or Rabashi, this was added on from the Halachas Kitoris. They say that Rashi didn't sit in sukkah. Many Baba Tess didn't sit in sukkah. He must have had a different Girsa. That's the question. Which Girsa do you follow? Which Rishayim do you follow? Shulchan Aruch says, you got to sit in sukkah. And the Gaon was very mocked, you have to sit in sukkah. He said, that's not really a question of the family minhag. Usually the children follow the same Pesach as the father and the grandfather. In our generation, it's not necessarily so. The children go to the yeshiva, and you have Ashkenazim, you have Sephardim learning in an Ashkenazi yeshiva. They convert. They go Kiddush. They become Ashkenazim. So they have family minhagim, 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 but then the Maisa, they converted, they became Ashkenazim. So by us, it's not necessarily just because my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather did sit in sukkah, didn't sit in sukkah, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to follow the same costume as my father, my grandfather. I can follow different places. By us, everything is changing. We don't always follow the same costume as our parents, our grandparents. So that's wearing tefillin l'chalom. That's not a question of a minhag, family. It's a question of a din. What's the din? There are three opinions. Wear tefillin with a bracha. Wear tefillin without a bracha. You don't wear tefillin at all. There are three different opinions. You can't say, what's the family minhag? Family minhag is on the assumption that the children are following the same pesach as the father, the grandfather. They're not following the same pesach as far as all the other things are concerned. Why should they follow the same pesach as far as the tefillin l'chalom for the city and sukkah Shmini Atzeres? Opening your hands when you say Maseches Yadecha, that's beautiful if the person is carried away with emotion. He knows what he's saying. Maseches Yadecha, okay, beautiful. But the Gemara has, one of the Amoraim says, how do I compare to my father? When my father would have fleshiks, he would wait 24 hours till he had melechiks. And I'm Chala Bar Chamra. My father's like wine, and I'm like vinegar. I'm the wine spoiled. I'm like wine that's spoiled. I can't compare to my father. I only weigh from one meal to the other, from one suda to the other. Why didn't he have to do like the father? Why didn't he do like the father? What's so difficult to wait 24 hours? That's so difficult. The answer is, all the Bali Musa said, he felt he wasn't on that madrega. His father had a personal, private chumrah. You can't force your chumrahs on your children. That's not called a family minhag. If it's generation after generation, they did it. My father was an unusual tzaddik, so he used to wait 24 hours and meet his chassidus, right? So the Sils Hashem says that people make a mistake. They think that they say Siyot Latara, so Mishmeres to Mishmarti is an instruction for the Bez. He says, yeah, but it's also an instruction for all Yochid V'Yochid. If you go to a university where they have Api courses, so you have to make a Mishmeres to Mishmarti. You have to do something. If you work in diamonds, and you see there's a lot of cheating in the business. If you work in a law firm, and you see that a lot of the lawyers are shakran and whatever, you have to make a, whatever circumstance you happen to be in, whatever country, whatever society, you have to make a Mishmeres. You have to make your own asayis yom latar. You can't say, well, whatever the Tanoim didn't answer, whatever it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch Hazos, there is mutar. Whatever it says, Mesil Shom says, whatever they asked, whatever Chazal asked, that's Dava Shechol Chal Nefesh, it was binding on all the Jews and all the generations and all cultures and all societies. But if in your circumstance you have a problem, you better make a Mishmeres le Mishmar Techo. You have to make your own siyok. The Samuel says his father was a holy tzaddik. He used to wait 24 hours. He wasn't a madrega. He says, I'm not a madrega, my father. I only wait the 6 hours. 6 hours also a minik. 6 hours is a minik. It's not a day. But that's the minik for the plain people. So my father is so moved when he says, Echaz Yadecha, he opens it. It doesn't become a minik. The Gemara has sometimes the minik of B'nei HaMishpacha, a family minik. My father, my grandfather, for a few generations, had minig. Friday afternoon, after chatzos, they go home from work. They don't stay in the office after chatzos. That's a beautiful minig. They make hachonis for Shabbos. You shouldn't come in the last second. Just make it by the skin of your teeth. You have to have hachonis on Erev Shabbos. The more you do hachonis for the Dovish Kedusha, so the more you'll be affected by the Kedusha of Shabbos. I was a Leitchik has in one of his essays. He complains that the Orthodoxy in America knows how to observe Shabbos, but don't know how to observe Erev Shabbos. They don't know yet. A lot of people come home from work. They work in law firms or whatever. They come home, they just make it on the skin of their teeth. The more hachoni you make on Erev Shabbos, the more meaningful the Shabbos will be. A minig has to be, Magen Avraham quotes, and Hilchas Purim, when he talks about it, it has to be a minig basik, and it has to be a minig that's approved by Tamir Chachamim. Someone does something. Not every sneeze becomes a minig. My father blew his nose this way, have to blow my nose the same way. The minig was thinking that it's a healthy approval of Tamir HaChomet. Even a minig of the community. But you see, the first Mishnah, Boba Basra, the Tosis has a Rabbi Nedama, the first Mishnah. Akol K'minig HaMdina, so he proves on the Mishnah that you're not supposed to follow every minig. Sometimes there's such a thing as a minig Shdus, you're not supposed to follow it. That's the famous Chuvus Rabbi Nedama, it's printed on the bottom of the page of the Mordechai. In the big Yesha printed at the bottom of the page on Masrechus Gittin, I think, the first page of Martin Gittin, Rabbi Nedama has a famous line in the Chuv, that Minig, Mem Nun Hei Gimel, the same voice he says, Gehenna. You go to the Minig, you go straight to Gehenna. Sometimes it's a stupid Minig. In every generation, Tamir HaChachamim have to shut up, they have to assess which Minig is a Minig Tayyu, which Minig is a Minig Shtus. Rabbi Nedama has it the first mission of Mubasik. Sometimes there's a Minig that's a Minig Shtus, which should not follow. Not every minig, not every practice that a person does is considered a minig. And even if my father did it, so for him it's a minig toiv, he has to continue. Minig toiv is binding mitam nedim and the rabbanon anymore, so that's quoted in Yerbedeh. Minig toiv is binding mitam nedim and the rabbanon. But it doesn't always become a family minig.
The next question is independent, but maybe it could serve as a follow-up. And it has to do with Nusach HaTzvila and how you pronounce it. The question is, A, is there a preferred Nusach HaTfila and a preferred pronunciation, or is it simply what your father did? Second, if you come to a place, you make Aliyah. Your shul Yudavin and says, if you're going to lay in here, you have to lay in its 5 days. That's how we do it. Is a person allowed to change? Is a person allowed to daven Ashkenazit, but sometimes daven Sfardit? To be the Shliach Tzibur, he has to daven Sfardit. Could a person change those things? And finally, does Rav Shechter think that if we move towards one Nusach Achid, as discussed sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, is that something we should strive for? Everybody should keep doing what they're doing, even though it's separate.
There's a lot of questions. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal a comment that most agree with the most of the comment to the punchline. Punchline question. Arizal says that Los and Love, it says in the end of Los Yecheskel, and the Sefer Yecheskel, we're going to have a Chom HaSovim, we're going to be 13 Shorim to enter. Shah Ruben, Shah Shimon, anyone who knows what shade that he comes from should enter through that shade. And then in the 13th shar, miscellaneous shar, shara kodlo, it's called. And whoever's a ger, whoever doesn't know about Shuvah, he doesn't know what shade that he comes from, they can enter through the shara kodlo. So he said the same is there are 13 nischos atfilo. Whoever knows, each shavit has its own cherished neshama. So whoever knows what shavit he comes from should have that nusach from that shavit. Whoever does know what nusach, what shavit he comes from, so the shara kailo, this is the punchline, is nusach hari. Because Nari all said that. Shara kailo is a nusach hari. The Balatanya Siddur is nusach hari. So there's a safer commentary on the, there's a thin safer called shara kailo. And he explains in the introduction why they call it shara kailo, because the whole word of the Arizal. So the punchline not everybody agrees to, but the idea that there are 13 Nuschos Atfila, each Shevet should approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gates to Yerushalayim also means, what do you mean you're entering Yerushalayim? You're going to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You enter Yerushalayim to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So there are 13 ways to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Elevator Dele Kim Chaim. There are many different approaches. It doesn't mean that anything goes, that it means that's because someone wrote a sefer, and it's printed as some commentary on the other day, write something, maybe he's dead wrong. Maybe he had a bad day and made a mistake. Sometimes we don't believe in infallibility. That's from the Orpia by the Zohar. They have this concept, infallibility of the Pope. Our religion never subscribed to anybody's infallibility. Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes, and the Chumash have an institution of parallel davashot sefer, possibility on the books. Possibility that all 71 members of the Sanhedrin made a mistake on Anisa Karas. The matter Anisa Karas, the dinner parallel davashot sefer only applies if it was a unanimous vote. I don't know if the Rebbe was the parallel davashot sefer historically, it never happened, but on the books there's such a theoretical possibility. We don't believe in infallibility. People can make a mistake. So just because you find a person who said something, doesn't mean you can rely on that person. Sometimes people made a mistake. So we wouldn't encourage Nusach Achid. Rabbi Gorin put out a siddur for the soldiers of the army. He made a Nusach Achid that everybody should daven the same Nusach. It's a problem. It's a problem, but that's not the recommended solution. The Nusach Achid is neither here nor there. It's nobody's Nusach. We feel that all the various nuschos correspond to the different shorish and neshama that people have, depending on where they come from, where the shevet is, and each shevet has a different approach to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all the approaches are valid. We're all acceptable. That's why the Gemara has a famous agarat at the end of Masechet Taanit Sanhedrin. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make a mochol with tzaddik. Mochol means a circular dance, the square dancing and circular dancing. Circular dance, Rabbi Kivega points out, and many others say the same thing. Every point on the circle is equidistant to the center. So in the middle is the Rabban Shalom. When I was a little boy, my father was always in the Rebbe, so I was the rabbi's son. So Lil Simchas Torah, when they gave out kibbutim, to say, Atta Reisim, Simchim Atta Reisim. The rabbi's son, so they felt obligated to give me a pasuk. They only stuck me with that pasuk. That's the longest pasuk, and it doesn't fit into the nusach. So long, it doesn't fit into the nigg. So I always felt insulted till Rav Soloveitchik explained the whole meaning of our kofes is based on that pasuk. He said, because all of, he said, by the Vilna Gaon in Vilna, he used to close off the two staircases to the bina when they were dancing with the kofes on Simchas Torah. He said because the shechina is supposed to be in the middle. Dancing around with the Sefer Torah is a hemshech of the dancing hakofes hoshainas and sukkahs. All of sukkahs we dance with the lulav and the esrog around the Sefer Torah in the middle to indicate that if you keep mitzvahs, you'll be matzliach and limar ator. Every point on the circle leads to the center. And then you take the Sefer Torah, you dance around the center. The center is the shechina. And it's based on the pasuk. Amar v'yom ahu, hinei lakeinu zeh. Zeh means something that you can be married the etzba. So the Gemara according to Losses Gorosh. Sidova Kodesh Baruch is going to make a machal of tzaddikim, a circular dance, and everyone's going to be pointing to the middle, and the Shechina is in the middle. So that's what Rabbi Kivega and other Gedolim said. When you have a circle, every point on Rabbi Kivega was a misnaget. And the Nesivus, his friend, was a misnaget. They were both blessed with the sons in law who were chassid. The Nesivus had a son in law who was a chassid, and Rabbi Kivega had famous comment from Rabbi Kivega, which is attributed to the Chafetz Chaim and many in between them, that every point on the circle is equidistant to the center. So the Shechina is in the middle, Yomab, Inhel, Akein, Zek, Vino, Sheel, Echsidim on this side, the Mustangna on that side, we're all equidistant, we're all equally distant from the Shechina, we're all with the same costas. A different drachim and avodas Hashem. Some drachma incorrect. Doesn't mean Elviyat anything goes. Doesn't mean anything goes. Sometimes you have something printed on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. They say that it's dead wrong. You're not allowed to follow that sheet. It doesn't mean anything goes. But sometimes there are more than one valid way in Avodas Hashem. The Yud Gimel Shorim approach the Beis HaMikdash and the Yud Gimel Neschoes HaTfilot. So that's a beautiful idea of Elviyat that you really give. As far as pronunciation, what's the correct pronunciation of Hebrew? So there's a Mishnah in Saita, Perikel, and Nemorim. There are certain mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled only in Hebrew, can't be fulfilled in translation. So one of them is Nisias Kapayim. Duchening has to be in Hebrew. So let's say the correct pronunciation, let's say, is like the Temanim say. And Ashkenazim are mispronouncing all the words. Fine. So Bichas Hamazanam Yoitzin, Kriyashman Yoitzin, Shmanesram Yoitzin. So it's in translation. So it's not the correct Hebrew. It's in translation. But Duchenin, Sias Kapan, has to be in the original Hebrew. So let you guess, how can any coin say Bracha? On Duchenin, it's a Sophic Bracha Levatola. Whatever Havara he's saying, the Rav is going to say that that's an incorrect Havara. So he mispronounced all the words. So whereas his father, Ramosha Soloveitchik, was known that after Shachris, he used to say Kriyashma a few more times. Different Havaris, like in some yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos Parsha Zohar, the late Parsha Zohar, 5-6 different times, all the different Havaris. Rav Soloveitchik didn't have that practice. He didn't do everything that his father did. He didn't do that. So he said, that's unreasonable. So how does the Kohen say Brocha Nesias Kapayim? He has an Ungarish pronunciation, has a Galatiana pronunciation, has a Yekrish pronunciation. Whatever it is, the others hold that that's incorrect. They said, apparently, we assume that all other pronunciations are considered Lashna Kodesh. You heard it with all the pronunciations. But to say that if you're going to pronounce with the wrong Havara, you're not Yotze, that's, we assume that's not correct. Yotze with any Havara that you say. But still, if the Midag HaMokam is that they lain in Havara Sfardin, so it should be Mishadef in the Midag. So if I serve as the Shleat Tzibur, or if I'm going to be the Balkari, you have to say like that. Look, the Balkari and the Shleat Tzibur have to be Merutza Lekal. Can't daven for an omelet if you're not merutza l'kol. Let's say a guy davens too slowly or too long, too slow or too fast, or with the wrong havara. He has a different havara. They use the yakish havara. This guy has a galatiana havara. Not merutza l'kol. You're not allowed to daven for an omelet. The same if the kehila, you have to take a vote. The roiv, if the roiv of the people in kehila are makar, you want to hear that here. Kriyas atorah with this particular havara. You want to hear a shliach tzibur with that havara. Not right to me, Mishana. Each person should follow his family tradition. Is he really so convinced that the Havara of the Teimanim was the only one that wasn't changed? Amnas Nadla was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer in Frankfurt. So I think someone came from Eretz Yisrael, Teimani came from Eretz Yisrael to collect money for the Yishuv, and he heard the way he was davening. So he thought, wow, that's the correct pronunciation. So he switched over to that Havara. So they kicked him out of Frankfurt. They chased him not out of Frankfurt. But with that and over other things, he was he davened Nusachari. That's enough to kick him out of Frankfurt. Don't daven their Nusach, so that's enough to kick him out. He was very open-minded, so he felt that their Havar is the more correct Havar, but more than most of us, we're not so convinced of anything. So we usually assume each person should follow his father's tradition of his father. What Havar, you should daven it.
850 years ago, or so, the Rambam sat down and wrote Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah. I don't think we know whether it was in response to anything or he just felt like writing it. There's a lot going on in America now. It's far away, but it comes here. We hear about it. Open Orthodoxy, RCA statement. And there are people talking about we should issue some kind of Ikrei Emunah for what we stand for. Instead of always being reactive and saying we're against this, we should sit down and say, this is what whoever we are, modern Jews, Orthodox Jews, we should come out and do such a thing. So Shapir think, A, that such a thing is beneficial, and or B, would it be possible to sit down and do such a thing?
Rav Soloveitchik used one of his famous lines would be, if I would have been the Rambam, I would have added a 14 thinker. Namely, Shazaz HaTorah, that the Torah is meaningful in all generations and all societies, and we don't have to be apologetic. That was the Loshan I said. We don't have to be apologetic about our position on women. We have a beautiful tradition about how we treat women. We never mistreated them. And even though the outside world doesn't appreciate our style, we live in a neurotic world, and they're all crazy. We should be respectful for our beautiful traditions about how we always treated the women. Maybe we should make such a statement. Maybe we should. It's a good idea. It's not so bad. Yeah. It's very unfortunate. We have such beautiful traditions, and we live in a secular world that's really neurotic, and they have such crazy ideas, and we're so mushed by them. So we should just ignore what they have to say. We should preserve our traditions to the best of our ability. One of the issues Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about this. That Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov. The Rambam writes, we should imitate the ways of God. The Hidama said, why should we imitate the ways of God? Sometimes you have a little boy, he makes believe he's a doctor. He makes believe he's taking your pulse, you're taking your blood pressure or something. Someday he may become a doctor. Okay, so he's imitating a doctor. Little girl makes believe she's a mommy, so she puts on a big bonnet, and she wears high heels, and she screams at the younger children. She thinks that's the definition of a mommy. Someday she probably will be a mommy, so she's acting as if she's a mommy. Why should we imitate the ways of God? Well, he's considering retiring, and having a search committee to look for a successor. He's looking for a partner to run it. Well, why should we? A person is going to act as if he's somebody other than himself. He's going to get a nervous breakdown. He's going to crack up. Why should we imitate the ways of God? The answer is, we were all created in Tzelem Elokim. So he instructed us, v'alach v'drachav, preserve the Tzelem Elokim that I instilled within you. And that's how they quote from the Vilna Gaon, out there is Eliyahu, by the Talmid HaGrod. They quote the Grod. How does the next pasuk read? In Parshas Kisav, v'alach v'drachav, v'oro kalami hortzman, all the nations of the world will see that you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim, k'shem Hashem nikra olecha. Shem Hashem means that I have a Tzelem Elokim. I was careful not to be mekalkalin. So the nations of the world will see, because the Jewish people are supposed to serve as Or LaGoyim. Or LaGoyim in what sense? They should see about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. That's only miyuchad for us. That doesn't apply to the Yom HaSoilam. Or LaGoyim means in this area, honesty, integrity. We should have a nice medina with a president who's not sitting in prison, with the Rosh Hashanah who's not sitting in prison. We should have Chavi HaKnesset, who should not be indicted because of grift in the former colonial Kanzishtik. We should have clean streets. It should be a beautiful country. The Yom HaSoilam should learn from us. Everyone should have a work ethic, be lazy. There's a lot that can learn from the Jewish people. There's a lot. So the pasuk continues. We're all Kalamiyats, but all the nations of the world will see. We're supposed to serve our Lagayim. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. You have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Malakim. The Yaru Mimeko, they will learn from us how they connect with Yerushalayim. They should learn from us Yerushalayim. We have to have Yerushalayim to the extent that it should be detected, it should be, everyone should see it. The Umas Rahim should learn from us how they should act with Yerushalayim. So we have so many psukim in Tanakh, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has described how he runs the world. So the Rambam writes both in the Mor Nebuchim and in the Mishneh Torah, how are we supposed to fulfill this? So the Rambam writes that all the Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, down to the last number, they all describe Darchei Hashem in order we should know how to fulfill that mitzvah. So one of the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, one of the Darchei Hashem is that he's a Kel Mistater. That's one of the Zmiris for Shalom Shudis, I think, for some such Kel Mistater. It's a Pasuk in Yishai. Moshe Baruch Hu is always hiding. He's invisible. He does such a good job at hiding. There's so many atheists that don't even believe that he's there. But we have a historical tradition. Our ancestors saw the Gilu Shechina. We know that God exists, and he's a Kel Mistater. So we should all go for Halach Ben Rach. We should all lead a life of Tznius. Hatznei Aleches Im Alekecha. And then the Gemara says in Sukkah, Leches reminds one of the Pasuk in Kailas Tov Aleches Vaisavim Aleches Halteis Mishta. We have a funeral, Rahman al-Itzlan. We have a wedding. That's a time when you express emotions. The funeral people get up and they cry. A wedding. The you're so happy, so you rejoice. So the Gemara says, that's ne'al leches, even when it's leches abeis sova, leches abeis mishta, you should also tone it down. You should try to keep your emotions private. You should try to lead a private life. Even when you have to express emotions, try to tone it down a little bit. It shouldn't be too much. So part of that mitzvah requires of us, tznius, that's part of our la'ad rabbanu. Tznius, people make the thing, it only has to do with women, they should wear dresses down to here and up to here and over there. That's one aspect of tznius. The main aspect of tznius is, a person should lead an anonymous life. Shouldn't there some people that come into the base marriage, they always walk to the front. Some people always walk to the back to draw attention. Silas Sharm describes. Some guy screams out loud in the davening, screams in the bedroom, always screaming top of his lungs. It's chavrus, he can hear him if he's talks slower. The whole base manager has to know that I'm here. Another guy will always speak so softly, have to ask him, what do you say? Get an aliyah, say the bracha so softly, he wants to draw attention to himself. Some people draw attention by speaking very softly, by sitting all the way in the back. Other people draw attention by wearing an orange sweater or a green, a crazy green color clothing. Crazy stuff. So the Torah wants Balach to Bidracha, Kodesh Bochus Tsanua. So we should also act in a fashion of sneers. To dress in a quiet way, not to stand up. Once in a while, Kodesh Bochu had to make a Gila Shechina. Marcus Pcheris, Maimon Hasina, there was a Gila Shechina. Whatever that means. The question what that means. So once in a while, we have to go and do things with Hasi also. So somebody has to be the rabbi in the shul. Somebody has to daven for an amid. Someone has to be the shliach tzibur and so on. Someone has to be the rosh hamemshala. Someone has to be the president of the shul. So we say, "Sanktos melech 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 b'loy malka." You shouldn't have a woman unless the woman is the best one for the job. But usually, if you can have a man or a woman, so it's more correct. Let the man compromise on his tzinyan. So don't call upon the woman that she should have to compromise on her tzinyan. So these are things that are not understood in America. Observation said, you tell us to America, you don't know what you're talking about. In America, everything is publicity. Everybody wants publicity. His lotion was, to tell a guy from the newspaper, make sure you print my photograph and write about me whatever you want. Make sure you don't misspell my name. Everybody should know who I am. Everybody in America wants publicity. This is just the hepach, one style that the Jewish religion preaches. We want everybody to lead an anonymous life. Sometimes you have a yotzim in a club, the shliach tzibur, the rabbi, and the rosh hamemshala. Okay, so even when someone has to do something for hesia, so that's compromising on sin. So we say, let a man do it, not a woman. It doesn't mean that we look down upon the women. The women don't have a lower level than the men. Women just as important as men, but it's a different selam alekim, it's a different role in life. We shouldn't be apologetic. That's Rabbi Salbeck. We shouldn't be apologetic. He said, sometimes Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, when he was fighting reform, so sometimes he has to defend the Orthodox view. To some of his essays, he becomes apologetic. He shouldn't be apologetic. He said, this is what we stand for, and that's it. He said that the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was giving him the Torah, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu finished writing the whole Sefer Torah. And I got it in the Gemara. Then the Kodesh Baruch Hu was putting in Tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need the Tagim? Give me the Sefer Torah. It's good the way it is. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no. Rabbi Akiva is going to come many generations from now. He's going to darshan all the Targum. We don't have any drushes from Rabbi Akiva. We don't have any drushes at all on codes. Means, Baruchalim put in the Targum, that's one derech. And we don't accept that derech. We don't follow that. But the Baruchalim put in the Targum that there should be such a derech and darshan. So the Pashup Shat, the simple translation of the Gemara is, Rabbi Akiva was Dorish. I'll call coats for coats on every one of the tagim, tili tilim shel halachas, tons of halachas. Rabbi Leshit said that Darshanim in Europe used to say, the Derech Melitza, I'll call coats for coats, thorns. Whenever they're going to throw thorns at our religion, make fun of the Orthodox practice. So we shouldn't be apologetic. We should say, this is our position, this is our sheet, this is what we stand for. We hold that this is a beautiful society. If everyone would follow these guidelines, we'll have a happy society. We should know that the American society is neurotic. People say that very often. We live in a neurotic society. They're crazy. So we don't have to pick out all the shtus and bavolim from the outside world. I mentioned before we've been talking, the Medrash has an expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complaining to the Jewish people. You're only following the bad things from the Musa. They're wonderful things to pick up from the Musa. Gemara picks up from the Parsi and their Cheretz to learn, and from the Romans and from the Greeks, each one of us had wonderful things, but you shouldn't pick up the Dvar Mikol Kolim. So we should, maybe we should reformulate some new additional Arimamins. We should say, we shouldn't be apologetic. This is what we stand for. This is a beautiful society with Tznius and Stella, with Tznius and so on. We're going to have to do it. Sooner or later, we're going to have to do it. Otherwise, we're just going to disappear. May as well do it sooner than later.
The narrow question was in choosing a shir in YU, but I'll broaden it so that it applies to everybody here. And that's just in choosing a Rebbe. What's the balance between saying, this Rebbe gives a great shir? I personally don't connect to him. I maybe personally don't even respect him so much, but I can learn great Torah from such a Rebbe. Is that an acceptable way to pick a shir and simply say, I'll learn the Torah, but I'll get my advice elsewhere? And in the second part of this is, we live in the generations that Zochet to Talmidei Chachamim who sometimes sit in prison. Can a person say over a vart that they heard from somebody who's now not part of the community, somebody has a sefer in their house that was published by a Talmid Chacham who's now sitting in jail? What happens to their Torah?
The Gemara not by the Zohar. The Gemara says to say over Omer B'Shem Amroi, the person has to be from the Chachmei HaMasor. It has to be an Erlich person. If it's Igloi Milsal and Afreya, then he is always a Bala neighbor. And you're not allowed to say Omer B'Shem. That's the very B'Shem Amroi. The Gemara not by the Zohar. Gemara Perik HaKoynes above the Kama also. Not allowed. But these people are not from the Chachmei HaMasor. More comments on the person. Marav Dana Lamal Hashem Tzlokas, you've actually turned to the Lala Yavakshu. You're not supposed to learn from the person unless you respect him as one of the Chachmei HaMasorah, because you're not going to not, you're going to be picking up his meters. The Talmud is supposed to pick up the whole Masorah from the Rebbe. So if the Rebbe picks his nose, or the Rebbe says, Nivol Peh, or the Rebbe has bad practices, and the Talmud doesn't respect him for some reason or another, he's not a medaktik in mitzvahs, or even if he is, he's not a Yirei Shamayim. So you shouldn't learn by him. You have to learn by a person whom you respect. You feel that you're linking up with one of the Chachmei HaMasor. I think that's a very serious issue.
Okay. In yeshivas, there's much discussion about Derech HaLimud. Does Rav Schechter think that there is either a preferred Derech HaLimud or a benefit to people adopting something akin to a Nusach Achid, where this is how from people learn, or everybody learns the way that strikes them and the way that makes them most comfortable?
In Europe, the different yeshivas, each yeshiva had a different derech. The literary yeshivas were pretty similar, but each one was different. Tells was very different. The Mir was different. The Brisk was different. Each one was very different. I was fortunate I heard so much from Rav Soloveitchik, so I picked up his style. Others have other styles of learning. Everyone has their own Derech HaLimud. But the Ungari should have taught, by the Galician, they have a totally different Derech HaLimud. Others learn Sukkot, they have a different style of learning. Before, you have to learn by Rebbe, Rav Dar Mel Malach Hashem Tzvokas.
Okay, last question. Everybody knows the Rav Schechter wears tchelas. I don't know if it's fair to say he's an advocate of wearing tchelas. The narrow question is, does Rav Schechter wear tchelas because he thinks it's likely the case, and it's a d'oraisa, so we'll be machmer that way, or because he believes that this is 100% the right tchelas? And second of all, does a person's decision to wear tchelas or not have to do with whether his Rebbe wears tchelas, his father wears tchelas, or it's just determined on his own understanding?
I'm not that well versed in all of the derayas back and forth. I thought it's at least a sofik derayas luchum. I thought it's at least a 50-50 sofik, if not more than 50-50 sofik. Some say asvare that you only say sofik derayas luchum. If you masupik, if you shuk a lulav or kosher lulav on the first day of derayas, shake again with for sure a kosher lulav, and you know for sure that you go to the mitzvah. So the only time you say something the rise of the chumrah is if you have to go to chumrah, you're not for sure that you did the mitzvah here. Even after you put in the tchelis, you're still not sure whether you've accomplished anything or not. So this is an interesting story, but it's against halacha. Rabbi Nachum Zemer quotes that story. He shows in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass like that story. We pass in Shulchan Aruch, there is such an opinion. They said, Shomrah says not so. So I thought it's at least a subject that I said, a person should, if a person has a Rebbe, he follows everything that's talking for the Rebbe, he should follow this also. He should ask his Rebbe. He should ask his Rebbe, whether he should be Chevel Sana. The Radzina Rebbe put out three different svarim about Chevel. He was the one who came up with the Chevel one time, late 1800s. Before the war, there were tens of thousands of Hasidim, not only Radzina, who bought Chevel. They were Radzina Chevel. So now they print all the three svarim together. Most Shloshim Sefer HaTchelos. Originally, each one had its own name. So in one of the got the third svarim, he has reactions, letters sent by other rabbonim to him regarding the Tchelos. So one of the letters is by some Talmid Chacham who says he's close with the Beis Halevi. He doesn't tell you who it is. He doesn't tell you that. He just says Talmid Chacham representing the Beis Halevi. So he gives you the explanation why the Beis HaLevi was opposed to the Radzina Rebbe's Chevelos. So he says that our fathers and our grandfathers always knew. Radzina Rebbe thought that the squid fish is the Chevelos. He thought it's a fish. He thought that it's a squid fish because it spits off this black dye, and that black dye, that's the Chevelos. So the Beis HaLevi told this friend of his, how can that be? My father, my grandfather knew that there's such a thing as a squid fish that spits up this black stuff. And they didn't use the dyes. Obviously, we have a masaira, but that's not the trebus. So that's why it's printed in the sefer that the Radzina Rebbe put out. The Soloveitchik family, both in America and in Eretz Yisrael, they have a totally different version of what the Beis HaLevi said. They say that he said, even if you're right, you're not right, because you don't have a masaira. You have to have a masaira identifying what Chelus is, and you can't use archaeology to reconstruct a Masura. You can't use a dictionary. You know, in other countries, let's say, what is Oriz and what is Dechen? Sometimes it's not sure, but Oriz is rice and Dechen is rice. Chapsan Abkemine, because if you eat Oriz and you say Bari, meaning Mizrenis, and say Bari Nefosh, that's only on Oriz, and Dechen Yirok. So which one is rice? So it's Fekedadina, which one is rice? Ask any Puerto Rican or Washington Heights, arroz is rice. Ask any Arab, arroz is rice. Everybody knows that. So the Soloveitchik family says, no, you can't use a dictionary, you can't use archaeology, a dictionary to reconstruct the Masorah. If the Jews forgot what arroz is, it's a Sfeika Adina, and we don't have any birra at all. Whether arroz is rice or arroz is the millet, we don't know. So they say the same by the Tchelos. Rabbi Feigl Cohen from Flatbush, formerly a Flatbush, he retired and moved to Lakewood now. So he took off a year, an interesting person. He took off a year from his rabbis, he gave up his rabbis, he had no partner. So he took off a year and he told about the Balabatim to hire another rabbi. He wants to go to Eretz Yisrael to pick up Shemush and Hairoa by Rabbi Yashiv. Not too many people in the world would do that, to give up your primary men with children, with young children. Took up a year to have Shemesh. So when he went back to America, the Balabatim didn't want to take anybody else, and they waited until he came back, and they took him back again as the rabbi. So then he continued to correspond with Rabbi Yashiv. So he said the two versions of what the Beis HaLevi said. The family, Soloveitchik family, says they said we don't have a tradition. You can't reconstruct a tradition with a dictionary or with archaeological proofs. And the other version is, no, not that we don't have a tradition. We have a masur that it's wrong because our fathers, our grandfathers were aware of the squid fish and they didn't use that dice. So which makes more sense to you? So Rabbi Yashiv thought that the way the family said does make any sense. Indeed, a tradition. If you have a dictionary, you can figure out by archaeology, why not? There's a modern mind would say Rabbi Yashiv was a modern thinker. Of course he was. I don't know. Rabbi Yashiv Weiss is usually assumed to be the modern thinker who has a cheetah. Second Chelik, as he calls it, Achiva. He wrote Achiva. We don't use archaeology to reconstruct it. We don't believe in the Chelis. He doesn't believe in archaeology. He doesn't believe in dictionaries. People are blind. I don't know. So Rabbi Yashiv was the modern thinker. Rabbi Moshe Weiss, who knows all the Britannica by heart, he thinks that we don't follow archaeology. Of course we follow archaeology. I don't know what I mean. So then Feigl Cohen asked him, so what do you say about the new Chelis? He said, he does know. It's an old man. You have to be a younger person to be able to change your practice. A person in the 70s and the 80s is going to start changing his practice. It's already expecting a lot. I thought it's at least a subject there is, but a person. Christian Shaliach, whoever he is, to all of his other Shabbos, to which he is to Shem. So the old yes of Abasha Weiss, Abasha Weiss says, we don't believe in archaeology. So they didn't prove anything. You have no archaeology at all. We don't believe in dictionaries, we don't believe in archaeology. Okay. But I think most of us do believe in archaeology and in dictionaries. So I thought it's at least the sake of the Reich Saluchu.
I want to thank Rav Shechter very much. We'll reconvene in an hour here.